Okay, let's go to my scripture reading. It's in Leviticus 23 and verse 33. Again, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, on the 15th of the seventh month is the Feast of Booths, for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day is a holy convocation." This is the first day of the 15th month, of the 15th day of the seventh month of the sacred year of God. "On the first day of the holy convocation, you shall do no laborious work of any kind. For 7 days you shall present an offering by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation and present an offering by fire to the Lord. It is an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. These are the appointed times of the Lord, which you shall proclaim as holy convocations to present offerings by fire to the Lord, burnt offerings and grain offerings, sacrifices and drain offerings, each day's matter on its own day. Beside those of the Sabbath of the Lord, and beside your gifts, and besides all your votive and freewill offerings, which you give to the Lord. On exactly the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the crops of the land, you shall celebrate the feast of the Lord for 7 days, with a rest on the first day and a rest on the eighth day. Now on the first day you shall take for yourselves the foliage of beautiful trees, palm branches and boughs of leafy trees and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall thus celebrate it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a perpetual statute throughout your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month. You shall live in booths for 7 days. All the native born in Israel shall live in booths, so that your generations may know that I had the sons of Israel live in booths when I brought them out from the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So Moses declared to the sons of Israel the appointed times of the Lord. This is a holy day to the Lord. This is one of God's yearly holy days, appointed times of assembly. The 15th day of the seventh month, the holiest month, judged by most to be of the sacred year. I'd like to go also in shedding maybe a different perspective, different light on this. I'd like to go to Deuteronomy. And let's go to Deuteronomy 16 and start at the 13th verse. "You shall celebrate the Feast of Booths 7 days after you have gathered in from your threshing floor and your wine vat. And you shall rejoice in your feast, you and your sons and your daughter and your male and female servants and the Levite and the stranger and the orphan and the widow who are in your towns." This is a celebration of joy and thanksgiving to God. It is to be participated by everyone who wants to gather at the house of the Lord in praise and honor and glory to Him. I'd like to just turn for just a minute to Nehemiah. Let's go to Nehemiah 8 and go to the 13th verse. "Then on the second day, the heads of the fathers' households of all the people, the priests and the Levites, were gathered to Ezra, the scribe, that they might gain insight into the words of the law. They found written in the law how the Lord had commanded through Moses that the sons of Israel should live in booths during the feast of the seventh month. So they proclaimed and circulated proclamation in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, 'Go out to the hills and bring olive branches and wild olive branches, myrtle branches, palm branches, and the branches of other leafy trees to make booths, as it is written.' So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God and in the square at the water gate and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. The entire assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in them. The sons of Israel had indeed not done so from the days of Joshua the son of Nun to that day. And there was great rejoicing. He read from the book of the law daily, from the first day to the last, and they celebrated the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. Do you see from this that there is a day of rejoicing to the Lord, a day of remembrance, as is all the Sabbath days of the Lord, both weekly and yearly? They are all days of memorial, days of remembrance of what the Heavenly Father has done and His plan for all of mankind. In Nehemiah 8 and verse 10, then He said to them, go eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who had nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. This is not a day to be grieved. It is a day to praise the Lord and be joyful for all that He's done. And the days of the holy days of the year are days of remembering various events and occasions that God provided for the children of Israel. And in this particular time in Nehemiah, it was a time of the rebuilding of the temple after it had been destroyed. And so it took quite an effort to get the house of the Lord rebuilt. And so during a period of quite a few years, going back to Joshua, and this particular Joshua, we know the Joshua, the son of Nun, was exactly that Joshua of Moses' time. So that goes all the way back to Moses, where it's saying that the children of God had, in essence, not celebrated this feast. That's a little bit hard, this festival, that's a little bit hard to believe. But that's what these words say. And so when the law was read to the people after so long a time of being in captivity, being out of their, most of them, out of their native country, well, when the law, the priest stood up along with the Levites and the others and read from the law, this was so joyful that it made the people sad also to hear, or at least grieved, that it had been so long since they had heard the words and praise from God's holy word. In Zechariah 14, 16, we would like to look at this. And Zechariah 14, 16. And this is the penalty for not observing the Feast of Tabernacles, or the festivity of Tabernacles. Sure enough, we're talking about a future time beyond us. We're talking about a day that has not happened yet. The day in which all the nations of the earth will come against Jerusalem and come against God's people in war, probably with the intent to destroy God's people and the land, and the city, Jerusalem. This is what it says about that future time, which will be immediately preceding the second coming of Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord. Then it will come about that any who are left of the nations that went up against Jerusalem will go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to celebrate the Feast of Booths. And this is a penalty of not doing that. Does God have penalties for not doing that now? I would say the implication is yes. I would say that blessings that could be had might not be had because of ignoring this tabernacle festival or not going to praise and worship the Lord on and at the Feast of Tabernacles? In verse 14, Zechariah 14, verse 17, "And it will be that whichever of the families of the earth does not go up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts," there, worship the king, the Lord of hosts, "there will be no rain on them." Do you think they're going to be prosperous? You think their crops are going to grow? Or do you think that famine is going to be in the land? And it's going to be a lot of people hurting and crying. Probably just as there have been within the last week, maybe. Perhaps for a different purpose. But the point is that in the future, you're going to be going up to Jerusalem where Jesus Christ will be. You're going to be worshiping Him. And of all the ones that are left of the nations that go up against Jerusalem, the ones of those that are left that have not been destroyed by Jesus coming back to this earth, then if they will not go up to Jerusalem to worship Jesus Christ and to learn of His laws and learn of His ways, then there will be no rain in their land. And that will be the punishment. That will be the penalty for not observing. And I'm sure that it would be to our benefit. It would be to our blessings, added blessings, that we recognize God's ways. And we recognize His intent for us to always have a celebration of His holy days and His appointed times in each and every year. I think we all want as many blessings as we can possibly get. This Tabernacles Festival has also other names that are used within God's holy word and names that it is known by. Some people from hundreds of years ago, maybe even a couple of thousand, refer to this particular time period as the feast because it's so important, because it was so popular, because it was such a joyful occasion that it became the most popular feast in all of God's holy calendar for the year. So it was simply called by many the feast, and they understood what you meant. Harvest time, autumn, the latter part of the year, the summer is over, the harvest is ended, and now the blessings come, the joy comes, the festivity comes. And as I spoke earlier, this is the time that Jesus Christ came to the earth for the first time as a little baby. He came sometime in the last part of September to the first part of October, right at this time period. And it's all, by all implications and by all judgment that we have, when He comes this second time, the great day of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth, to put down those nations that come up against His holy city, Jerusalem. By all indications, that will be at this season of the year. Isn't that great to know that Jesus Christ is coming at this time, general time of the year? Maybe not this year, but maybe this year. Maybe next year at this time. We don't know. The Tabernacles is also called, and that was part of my scriptures earlier, the Feast of Booths. And of course, booths just simply means a type of temporary dwelling place. Booths could mean tents. Booths could mean little huts that was quickly able to be quickly made. and lived in. And of course, this is all in remembrance of the time that the children of Israel was delivered from the hands of Pharaoh and delivered from Egypt as they were held captives by the Egyptians. It's also spoken of as the feast or the festival of ingathering. And some also refer to it as the festival of shelters. But the point is, God provides. God delivers. He delivered His people all through His holy word. We read of it from Genesis 1 to the end. He does deliver. He will deliver. He's delivered in the past. He's delivering right now. He will deliver as you call on Him and put your complete trust and faith in Him. And He is going to deliver in the future. He dwelt with men approximately 2,000 years ago as He came to this earth as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And He's going to come again. He tabernacled, or He dwelt with His people 2,000 years ago. He's going to dwell with His people again. He's going to dwell with His people on this earth in Jerusalem. And that's what we're speaking of there in Zechariah, is that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth at His second coming. So we look forward to the time in which we will never be away from Jesus. And you know, the Word lets us know that. When Jesus comes back to this earth and the ones that are ready to meet Him are caught up in the air, never to depart. Never to be away from Him. And to be with Him forever and ever and ever. This feast of festival of tabernacles included camping out in gardens. And I think one of the scriptures I read you said in the courtyards of the homes, on the roofs of the home, in the vicinity of the temple itself. And these temporary dwelling places were made of basically branches of trees, leaves of trees, such as palms. I also read that during this festival, it was a ceremony of pouring water. Have you ever read that? A ceremony of water being poured out. And the point was to give praise and honor to God for Him providing in the past and His provision for the future. The pouring of the water was telling God that we have faith and trust in You, that just like You've given us rain for good crops, good food and drink in the past, so it is we depend on You for the future rain. After the harvest was when the tabernacles was. We read one verse that explained that. It was after the harvest of the fruit of their labors in one verse. And of course that lets us know that it was not only of crops like corn, but it was also the grape harvest. So it was a time of food, both food and drink. It was a time it was a reminder of the time that Israel lived in tents in the desert. And we want to make clear one thing tonight, and that is that we're not trying to be the temple as of old. We're not trying to be the Levitical priesthood. We're not trying to bring back the sacrifices of old, the sacrifices of by the blood of animals and birds and so on. But we're trying to be obedient as the best that we can to what the Father God has given to us. And trying to remember the days that He appointed and set aside for us to have holy convocations. We know that nowhere in His Word does He say that you are to stop that. Just as there's nowhere in the Word that He says remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy has been changed. There's nowhere that it says to remember some other day to keep it holy. So nowhere do we find, does it say to not participate in these festivity days of the Lord. Quite the contrast. It says that we are. Jesus participated in the festival days. Read it for yourself. Paul participated in the festival days. You can read that for yourself also. Just look up the word festival or feast in the New Testament scriptures. And you'll see that Pentecost, the giving of the Holy Spirit, was on one of those appointed days and times of the Lord. The day, very day of Pentecost, Jesus Christ gave the Holy Spirit to His people. Now, isn't that something that's special of why He would do that and why He would particularly choose that particular time to do that? I'd like to close with reading a few scriptures in the New Testament. Maybe David can follow along. And like I said, we are not trying to be the temple of the Old Testament, nor the Levitical priesthood, nor offering of blood sacrifices. We know that Jesus came and paid that ultimate sacrifice once and for all, and that part is done away with. So, what sacrifices are we to give to God? It's obvious. We are to give Him our time. We are to give Him our talents. We are to give Him His share of the blessings that He has given us. A share, a portion back to Him in the form of tithes and offerings. Those are some of the offerings and sacrifices. We are to give Him sacrifices of praise and worship. They are a type of sacrifices. Let's go to Matthew 12 and 28. Matthew 12 and 28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Somehow, that don't look like the quite the right verse. This is Jesus and the scribe. There you go, right in there. Back up a little bit. Okay, go down a little bit. No, that isn't it. Okay, I've got, but this, I'll briefly tell you the intent of these scriptures. It's the scribe that went to Jesus, and I think he asked Jesus, what is the most important part of the law of God's word to men? The scribe asked that of Jesus. And Jesus states to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And then the scribe then adds to that, and he lets, 12. Okay. think David thought he had it. It must not be 12. It must be 13 or
22:36.
20. 22:36. Okay. And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. This you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And on these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets. No, that's not it. But anyway, the scribe, after Jesus tells the how to love the Lord with all your heart and mind and soul and strength, then the scribe says to Jesus that you are to love, in essence, you are to love God and your neighbor in such a way, and that to do so is more than all the sacrifices and offerings that you could possibly make. See what I'm saying? The praise and honor and glory and to love God and your neighbor is much more than all the offerings and sacrifices that could be given. Let's go to 1 Peter 2 and 5. 1 Peter 2 and 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Is that pleasing to God? You are to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Let's go to Hebrews 13 and 16. "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." These are New Testament scriptures I'm bringing to you that's speaking of acceptable sacrifices and offerings that you make to God. Jesus Christ paid the price with His blood and took the place of the blood of those sacrificial animals, much better, a more perfect sacrifice than could have ever been done. And He had to only do it once, not once each year. Let's go to Hebrews 10 and 1. "For the law, since it was only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near." Do you see how sacrifices after Jesus atoned for our sins fit in? We don't offer the blood offerings of sacrifices that had to have the fire to burn them, to burn up, as was laid out to the Levitical priesthood. But we do have sacrifices of our time and our talents and our other all spiritual sacrifices to God. If you would, stand with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this blessed time of yours. Thank You for the Sabbath. We thank You for this first day of Tabernacles. We thank You for Your plan that includes us being with You forever and ever. And Heavenly Father, we ask You to keep us on the right path to You. Let our feet not stray from that path that would lead us to You. Bring our family and our friends in. We want them to be part of Your family. We want them to know Your way and abide in that way more perfectly. And Heavenly Father, by Your Holy Spirit, that can be possible. And Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we ask all these things, and amen. And you are dismissed.